listening to the DeCesare Group Podcast. Welcome back. I'm your host, Jim DeCesare, and I'm glad you're here. Our guest today has earned numerous state and national coaching honors and is recognized for his leadership and lasting impact on high school football in Kentucky. Kevin Wallace devoted more than 40 years to public education and interscholastic athletics, bringing home 6 state football championships, 5 at Bowling Green High and 1 at St. X. Kevin retired after the 2025 season with a career record of 371 wins and 130 losses, which ranks 4th in KHSAA history for career victories. He and his wife Dana moved back to Bowling Green, where he recently became the Director of Corporate Development at ABR Systems Group. Kevin talks about his legendary career, what the transition to the private sector is like, and what he brings to a company like ABR Systems Group. Here's my conversation with Coach Kevin Wallace. Coach Kevin Wallace, welcome to the DeCesare Group Podcast.
Jim, it's great being here and great being back in Bowling Green.
I bet it is. We're glad to have you here. So tell us, what's life like after coaching?
Well, you know, I miss the relationships. You're around so many different people, and not just players, but coaches. And when you're working in a school, obviously, with teachers, administrators, and families. And the unique thing about St. X, we had about 200 players, 30 coaches. So you're almost orchestrating a small business. And I think that everyday grind of being around kids and being around them in a way that you're trying to help them grow, you're trying to impact their decision-making, and obviously you're trying to impact them athletically. Those are things that it's just different than almost any other thing that I could try to get into. So I can't say that I don't miss that part, because I do miss that part. But I'm enjoying what I'm doing now and looking forward to change.
Yeah. So, you know, talk about some of the highs and lows of transitioning from coaching into the private sector and how that's working out for you.
Well, I think that the highs in competition are obvious.
Yeah.
That you're aiming for something with a group that are all pulling in the same direction, and winning is euphoric. And I'm sure that as I get into my job a little bit deeper in, I'll see that kind of come into fruition in terms of business development, and those wins will be a little different, because they won't be on a scoreboard or in front of a crowd, but it'll feel the same way, because I'm still as competitive as I ever was.
Sure.
The lows, obviously, you know, losing is hurts a lot more than winning feels good.
Yeah.
When you're involved in competition, I'm sure that the losing part for me, from a business standpoint, being involved with ABR, is something that I'll encounter at some point. But really, you know, when you talk about wins and losses and what I've done in my career of 44 years of coaching, the real wins and losses are about the development of young people and watching them take the processes that you tried to build in terms of their decision-making and see them go into a great career and have a great life and be great parents and great members of communities. Those are the real wins. The losses are the young men that lose opportunities because of not developing that decision-making. And fortunately, in my career, I've seen a lot more wins in that than I have losses.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
So how does transitioning from coaching into the business world, how has that prepared you for this chapter?
Well, I think it's prepared me because there's a level of organization and focus that has been apparent for what I've done for over 40 years. And you've got to take that same level of organization, that same level of focus, and then be very detail-oriented with what you're doing. And I'm in a growth period right now, Jim, because I'm working for an IT firm, and I've got some different things that I'm doing that aren't necessarily that I'm not on a help desk trying to fix somebody's computer.
Right.
But it's still learning the language. There's a different language to how they talk and how they communicate with each other, and that's something that is part of the growth process. And then just retooling myself in terms of my ability to communicate and my ability to go reach out to people and try to grow the business, and I think that's going to be a fun part of what I'm doing.
Well, you mentioned an ABR system group. So explain what they do and what role you'll play in the company.
Okay, we're a full-service IT firm that's involved with the networking of businesses, and it ranges greatly. We may be dealing with a dental facility that might have five computers in their place, and or we may be dealing with Bluegrass Ingredients that has two factories and a warehouse and a corporate office that are in three different cities. So we can serve a vast array of businesses, and we also are going to be dealing with your hardware if you need to deal with hardware and software. We're obviously networking and building your network. We're the end of it that I'm in with right now is the safety issue. If you're taking safety precautions and you have a package with us, I'm dealing with setting up safety campaigns and designing phishing emails that we'll be sending out to try to see if your group is compliant.
Yeah.
A lot of businesses have to have insurance policies that require them to have some type of security mechanism, and we're going to be a part of that.
Yeah, and I got my email this morning from you.
That's one of the things that, you know, what I did last week is I set a calendar for the entire year, and we've plotted people to where we don't have a bunch of campaigns going on at the same time. It's you're going to have some crossover, but we try not to have too much crossover. And I've already built those campaigns into the software that we're going to use, so we're ready to roll on that.
And are you also going to be doing some business development and nurturing relationships with new and existing customers?
Yeah, I think that's part of the easy part for me. We have an office in Louisville. The fact that I have a little bit of recognition in both of the cities where we're based, I think, is something that we'll build upon as we go through this.
Well, you talk about your wins and losses as someone who's been in business development for nearly 30 years now. I always use the Pareto principle, 80-20. If you get 20% wins in this industry, you're doing good.
Well, this is going to go back to baseball.
Yeah.
You know, guys who are hitting 270 are making a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not going to try to judge it through an 80% win, because that I've been on the other end, fortunately, of the 80-20. But I understand that we're going to go into
270 is 27%.
That's right. That's right. It's even better than that 20. But I hope I'm not at the Mendoza line.
Yeah, right. That's a great. And, you know, I use this analogy, a baseball analogy, a lot. You can win games with singles and doubles. You don't have to hit dingers every day.
Well, that's kind of what I was saying about our business, that we serve small businesses, CPA offices, dental offices, doctor's offices. But we are obviously have the capability of serving large corporations.
Yeah. So you, how long have you been with ABR now?
2 weeks. I didn't take long. We got done playing on Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah.
And
took a few weeks off.
Yeah, I stayed at St. X until we broke for Christmas, and came home. And like I said, I thought I was just going to kind of be sitting around the house and figuring out life. And Alan called me, and we sat down at his house and talked about some things. And you know, I'm excited about having the opportunity.
Yeah, and of course, you know, idle hands, you know, you don't want to just sit around and do nothing. Yeah, you're the type of person that has to be doing something.
Well, I've spent a lot of hours working in my career, and you know, Dana's a retired educator as well, but she hasn't worked in a long time. She subs, but I'm not sure she would have been real happy if I was home all the time.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. So talk about some of the similarities between, you know, coaching and education compared to what you're doing now.
Well, I think, you know, start with the process of the security work that I'm doing with our company, I think fits right into the education mode, because if your business has a difficulty in people clicking on the phishing emails, I'm going to be able to work with them from an educational standpoint and training to bring them back into compliance. So it fits from that. And then in terms of the business growth model, I think that your ability to communicate as a coach is at a premium in terms of the top things that you need to be able to do. And once I get a good hold and understanding of our business and exactly what we're doing, I look forward to going out and talking to people about ABR, talking about them, about our ability to develop and enhance your business. And I realize that a lot of folks are already under contract. And like you said, that 80-20 principle is going to hit me right in the face.
Yeah.
But I just want to have the opportunity to go to a lot of people that I know and I've had prior relationships with in both of those cities, and have a chance to maybe do some things that will enhance our business.
That's fantastic. And, you know, talking about, I think one of the things Alan with ABR was telling me about was that he also wanted to have you on the team to help develop his team. And talk about that a little bit.
Well, I think over the course of time, one of the things that I got in the habit of hearing as a head coach, when you get in conversations with other coaches, there is always a complaint mechanism about not having leaders. And I think that I got about halfway into my career, and it dawned upon me that leadership was something that you had to cultivate, and you had to be intentional about the time that you put into it. It's not natural for a teenager to lead another teenager.
Right.
It's not natural, really, for adults to be able to do that. So we began to put some leadership development programs together here. We enhanced those a great deal when we were at St. X. And I think that many of the same things that we preach to our young men on a daily basis are things that I can bring to the ABR office. And they're not overly complicated. I think that when you're talking about things that can help you in life, you're talking about things that can help you in sports or business. Bottom line, you know, we're looking to develop a better culture, a culture that's based on outcome-based decision-making. We don't want to sit around and be in what I describe as a BCD mode, that we're always blaming or complaining or defending.
Yeah.
We can turn on the TV and see enough of that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And if we get into a model where we're taking accountability and trying to help each other and being above the line. You know, when you're making a decision, there's a line drawn. You're either going to make it through discipline or you're going to make it through default.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can press pause, understand that the intention of your decision is to bring you the best outcome that you can have. That little event plus response equals outcome mechanism of E plus R equals O are things that we talked about with young people now for the last 10, 15 years. And they might sound corny, but it's just little things that stick. And I think I can bring that to our office. Now, our office is a little different. You're talking about technicians that think maybe a little different way than what high school athletes think.
Sure.
But it's still a relationship piece that I want to be able to grow and improve our culture.
And for those that listen to this show on a regular basis, I've used this term multiple times, but culture always wins in any organization. And if that culture is not there, if it's not a good culture, it's eventually it'll catch up with the organization, whether it's a business, a team, or whatever, and it will find the cracks in the system.
There's no doubt about that. And I think that I've spent a career trying to build processes that would allow a team to be better than the sum of their parts.
Yeah.
And I think you want to be able to do that same thing in an office.
Yeah. You're talking about the phishing emails, which we have a lot of business leaders that listen, and you know, I'm familiar with them, because one of the things, you know, we all get these emails that look a little sketchy sometimes, and you want to find out what it is, you want to click it, but you know, what are some things that people should do first before they make that click? I know the answer, but I want you to tell everybody that.
Well, I just think that it's a lot of common sense.
Yeah.
That if the email doesn't look professional, if it's not something you're normally getting, or if it's not from a normal company that you would be getting an email from, that is the first line of defense for yourself to see. But, you know, in designing, as you know, that criminals are smarter than we are sometimes, and people who are trying to milk you out of your money obviously have a way of designing those emails to look like they're coming from Amazon or look like they're coming from businesses that you would normally get an email from. But if it's asking you to do anything, to click on a link, press pause.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mentioned press pause in your decision making. Don't be instantaneous about wanting to see if your account is you owe money, or if you need to change your passwords. Those are things that normally are not just coming from an email that doesn't have a lot of your information already on it.
Yeah, I got an email a couple of weeks ago from the actual person's email address, and it was wanting my e-signature. It didn't have any explanation, just had the DocuSign link. And I'm like, this isn't real,
right?
You know, so I actually called that person. I said, hey, just FYI, got an email from me on a DocuSign. He's like, oh, you know, I'm calling IT.
Yeah, I've been used to working, obviously, in buildings where we had in-house IT, and those things are on the rise. They were on the rise even in the educational world, and seeing it, and it was always easy for us to just contact the guy in-house. And I would say that if you're a business and you're working with an IT firm, those are communication things that you need to be having with your IT development people.
Yeah. So talk about some of the biggest challenges. You know, how is your day-to-day different now from coaching to the private sector?
Well, at this point, I'm just building a base and building an organization of what I need to do on a daily basis. And part of that has been done over the last couple of weeks and in setting a yearly calendar for these security campaigns. The other part is just basically going through my phone, going through past relationships and trying to figure out who is operating a business or who's involved in a business that might be in our wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Whether that's in Louisville or whether it's in the South Central Kentucky and some of the people that I might know in the Nashville area. And building a prospective client base and beginning to make contact calls. And the neat thing about it is a lot of them are people that I've spent a lot of time with in terms of their development, whether they were in high school and played football or were around us. And it's pretty neat to make those calls and get to catch up with some folks.
Yeah.
Even if the answer is no, or the answer is we're under a contract right now. And so that part of it's not the worst thing that I do. I think the first time that you make one of those calls and you've never really been in sales in your life, there's a little bit of a nervous anxiety about it. But I think I'm going to get a comfort level and being able to talk to people.
Yeah, one of the things I've always learned, and when someone says no, that's not the door being closed. You know, keep following up every now and then, check in with them, because eventually that no may turn, you know, there could be a hiccup with whoever they're using now, and they're like, well, you know, Coach Wallace has been calling me for, you know, 6 months. I need to talk with him again.
Yeah, and I told my wife the other day, she said, well, you know, how busy do your people stay? I said, well, it's kind of like the Maytag repairman. You hope that your help desk is not busy at all, because you want your clients to be secure and not have any problems in network development. But it's kind of like having a long snapper or not having a long snapper. If you don't have a long snapper, everybody knows it, and he's going to get you beat. So if you don't have a very good, you know, developed network, that your business is going to get beat. So we've got to be pretty good in terms of setting the network up, but we also got to be really good in terms of our help desk and being able to solve problems.
That's what it's all about, is just, you know, being there when someone needs you.
Yeah, it's
24/7. They might need you later.
Yeah, you know, your problems don't always occur between 9 and 5.
So going back to developing, you're going to continue to be a mentor in everything that you do to younger folks, because, you know, you and I aren't getting any younger, and we're at that age now where we can help develop young people. Talk more about mentorships and how important they are within any organization.
Well, I think that the first thing you've already hit upon in terms of the culture is that culture is about relationship building, and it's also about trying to develop decision making inside of that group that's going to be outcome based. And I hate to go back and kind of hit upon the same things I just talked about, but, you know, we can teach people in education, math, science, English, social studies, religion, in our case, in terms of being at St. X, and you're teaching them facts, you're teaching them things, but unless we do a good job of teaching people how to make good decisions and what to base those decisions on and how to create relationships with people, you know, then we're missing out in the long term of what really impacts our communities. And that's where I think sports has played such a positive role for young people.
Yeah.
Because it's an outside the box. It's outside, it's education, but it's not education. You're getting to do something with those young people that they really want to do. And they may not even understand that you're in culture development while you're doing it. But you know, it's as I mentioned a while ago, it's something that I've been intentional about for over a decade and a half in terms of trying to develop leadership with young people. And I think that I could walk around any place I was in and understand that in terms of being in that building, there were places that needed that same dot development. And whether it was in a classroom, a boardroom, or, you know, or wherever else, that we all need to have the ability to relate to one another, the ability to have to work for a common goal. Because quite honestly, if you're working in a place and you don't care about the development of that business, then pretty soon you might not have a job.
Right.
And so you've got to build that care about what the quality of that business is, what the quality of that team is, what the quality of a unit may be. Mm-hmm. May not be just the entire business, it may be the unit you're working in. We always talked about in football having 10 units. You had offensive groups, four defensive groups, and you have your special teams guys that are probably working and practicing in different areas, and most of the time you're out there on a daily basis. And all those units have to fit together at some point. It's no different in a business.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have units that feel like they're more important than the other one, and my job may be to bring those people together and understand that we've all got to function and have a job, but our role has to be something that blends together to make the business stronger.
Yeah. So, yes, 40, how many years of coaching? 44?
Yeah, 44.
So, you know, had some great football teams, 6 state championships. You've worked with a lot of young people over your career. Do you still have that mentorship relationship with any of your past players and students?
Yeah, and Jim, some of them are almost my age. I mean, I was a head baseball coach and a head football coach at 23 years old. So, those guys.
You're both on AARP, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I hit my Medicare birthday, but they're following me up pretty quick. One of the most fun things I'm able to do is to sit down and make a phone call to a guy that maybe I coached baseball in the 1980s or get an email from somebody. One of the things that makes me feel the best, Jim, no matter how old they are or no matter how long it's been since they played for me, to get an email that asks me if they can put their name on their resume or if I can make a call for them, if I can do this and use my context. Maybe one of the best stories I can tell is Jordan Meredith, who's playing for the Las Vegas Raiders, finished playing at Western and was going to get involved in trying to go into the NFL. He wasn't invited to the combine, so he was going to go through the workouts here at Western. And I was in Louisville, and I called Jordan. I'm like, do you have an agent? So-and-so said he's going to work with me to get an agent. Because it's really important if a guy's probably going to be a free agent that they get an agent that can kind of pick out the best situation for them.
Yeah.
And time went along, and Jordan didn't have an agent. It was getting down to the point where, you know, you're close to the draft. And when the draft ends, immediately free agents are being picked up, in a very quick manner. And I was able to – I said, okay, Jordan, there's a young man, not young, but a man that played baseball for me in the 1980s that is the vice president of the leading sports and entertainment law firm in Washington, D.C. And I'm going to call him. I'm going to tell him, you know, he'll watch your film. I'm going to put you two guys together. And to make a long story short, Jordan, I'm so proud of Jordan because he didn't get drafted and he didn't get picked up and automatically make a team. You know, he probably spent 200 nights a year in a motel because of getting cut, getting picked up by somebody else. I think he played for 6 different teams in his first 2 years, very rarely on the roster on a Sunday. Hung in. But Jordan Meredith and Jeff Whitney are two guys that would have never known each other, and their only common thread was Kevin Wallace.
Yeah.
And Jordan thinks Jeff's the greatest thing in the world because he's been able to put him in good situations, keep him employed. Jordan's continued to work his rear end off, and Jordan's helping Jeff because now he's been a full-time starter for about 1.5 years with the Raiders and getting ready to come up on a contract where he's a restricted free agent. So both of them are going to make a little money off each other, and it's been fun for me to go through that process with them, and that's just a small story of the literally thousands of young men that I've had an opportunity to coach.
Yeah, that's awesome. How many players did you have go to the NFL? Do you know off the top of your head?
Well, Robert Reynolds played in the NFL.
Yep.
And Jordan Meredith has played in the NFL. They're the only two that have been able to stick for a long period of time.
Fant didn't play football for
George
you.
Fant. Well, actually, George played at Warren Central.
Oh, that's right.
Tim
that's
Riley
right.
was a basketball. Tim
right.
and I graduated from Warren East together.
Yeah.
And are still, you know, unbelievably good friends. And so I actually coached George's dad. So that's how long that I've been in it. So, but George's agent, ironically, is Jeff Whitney. So it all kind of runs around in circles. But Robert Reynolds, you know, Patrick, which is Robert's brother, spent some time in a camp. Trent Stillman spent some time in a camp. But Robert and Jordan are the only two that that have made it and been able to make a career out of it. The good thing about Jordan this year, he passed a point where he qualifies for an NFL pension. So that'll be a great thing for him as well.
That's awesome. And, of course, we see Patrick around town quite a bit now.
I mean, he's doing pretty well for himself.
Doing the riverfront development and other things that he's got going on. All right, so now let's have a little fun here. I know you were at Bowling Green. How many years?
I was head coach at Bowling Green for 22 years. I was there for 2 years as an assistant.
Okay. So I know you've had the football boosters have had a lot of great events over the year, but what was your favorite band you ever heard at a football booster event?
I don't know, Jim. You're going to get me in trouble here because I don't remember the names of your band. So,
oh, come on.
No, I apologize.
Yeah, Skip Bond and the Fugees.
Skip Bond and the Fugees. I apologize. man alive.
I remember playing that event. We were out there by the field house, I guess, and I don't know. I guess they were raising money for the team for something or another, but a former Bowling Green football player who played under Coach Wilson Sears is our lead singer. And, of course, he likes to tell his football stories at band practice.
He's got a lot of stories. Most of them are embellished if it's anything that makes it feel like he's doing well. Just saying.
No, I've been around him enough to know. And, we're talking about Judge Steve Wilson.
Yep.
I'm going to say names.
That's good.
So who were some of your biggest influences in coaching?
Well, I think that the 2 years I got to work for Dan Haley were – incredibly important to me. I had been a head football coach for 10 years, head baseball coach for 7 years, an athletic director for 4 seasons prior to going to Bowling Green. And felt like I got an education that was so different in the 2 years I spent as an assistant. Dan was so meticulous in his attention to details and was incredible in terms of his organization and planning. And I'm not talking about planning of a practice or planning of a schedule or planning of a game plan. We're talking about planning from January 1st to December 31st of every day had to have some type of meaning. And, you know, I can't thank Dan enough. Here's a guy that as a young coach I was competing against. And – and being at Warren East, and he was at Bowling Green, you know, most of the time we're losing to him. And I think that one of the unique things happened for us is we were both together in an all-star game that we were coaching on the same staff, you know, and spending a week together, getting to know each other pretty well, and having an opportunity to go to work for him really impacted my career in an unbelievable way. Dan's got a great tree. You know, there's a lot of people that have worked for Dan that have had success in coaching, and you know, I think that when I look back upon it now that I'm out, that's one of the things that I'll be most proud of is that there were people who either played or coached under me that have had an awful lot of success as well. It tells you that you're probably doing something a little bit right when it comes to that attention to detail organization format.
All right. Well, it's been great having you on the podcast. I'm going to put the link to ABR Systems Group.
Thank you.
On the show notes, and we want to welcome you back to Bowling Green.
Appreciate it, Jim.
And congratulations on the new gig.
I hope it works out well for me. Just simply because I want to do something to help our team.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
Coach Kevin Wallace, thanks for being on the DeCesare Group podcast.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks again to Coach Kevin Wallace, Director of Corporate Development for ABR Systems Group, for joining us this week on the DeCesare Group Podcast, and thank you for checking us out as well. Hey, if you like what you hear, please share it with a friend. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, leave us a review, and share your feedback with us too. You can also follow the DeCesare Group across all of our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, X, and YouTube. You can even subscribe to our weekly newsletter, Soke Economic Development and Business News, by going to our website, thedecesaregroup.com. The DeCesare Group Podcast is produced by the DeCesare Group, a public relations and consulting firm based in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Our engineer and assistant head coach is Justin DeCesare. With content contributions from Brooke Mattingly, the DeCesare Group Podcast is researched by Amy DeCesare. I'm Jim DeCesare, inviting you to join us again next time for the DeCesare Group Podcast.